You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
A little asthma, it's normal in Auckland.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
G'day, Celine. How are you?
Kia ora. I'm all right. Yeah.
That's good to hear. That is very good to hear. Some of the BFM listenership, not so all right. Got some crazy things going on in their houses as per usual. Let's get stuck into one from someone who's moving out of their flat. They've said there are some broken things that we have previously brought up to our landlord and they haven't fixed. They're now trying to take these things off our bond. What's the deal?
Well, basically, if I think the most important thing to think about is that like shared responsibility thing, which is how a lot of this is framed. So it's like if something happens, you tell them, they fix it. That's you tell them as soon as you can, and then they fix it, and that's their responsibility. So if they haven't done it, keep your receipts. That's I think the theme of this show. Just keep your receipts. All evidence.
Paper trail.
Yeah, absolutely. Every email, every single thing. Just document it all. Because then you can use that to be like, this is when we asked you to do this, we've told you about this, this wasn't ours, this is something that's gone on. So when you're getting your bond back, it is your money, and unless something has really happened, you're meant to get it back, though I know that's not really how it's often framed. There's also this thing where if you've lived somewhere for 4 years, like I have friends moving out at the moment, and they've lived there for quite a few years, it can't be back. You're not expected to get it back to the condition it was when you moved in because that was 4 years ago and it's been lived in. So there's reasonable wear and tear is fine. It's damage that needs to be fixed. And if the damage is just something that's happened, not of your... if it's not reckless damage, if it's just damage or something breaking as it naturally does, it's their job to have fixed it. So I would argue, I would keep those receipts. I would use that as a way to argue that they knew that it needed to be fixed. But also, if you can't agree on it, just try and submit your completed bond form saying that you want your bond back as soon as you can, because then they'll only have 10 days to contest that, and that might escalate it, but it also...
Might resolve it,
and they might just, yeah.
I don't think we've touched on this point for quite a couple of months now, but the deal with your bond is you can... do it without your property manager or your landlord. You can go straight to the bond authority.
Can you?
You can, Stella. You can.
Good to know, guys.
Yeah. So how does that work, Celine?
Yeah, so it's just important to... You kind of do that straight away and then they'll be notified. So it kind of can become... I've got a friend in Australia where it works in a similar way, and it's kind of like a race to... Because your landlord can do the same. So they can go straight to... go straight to them with the bond as well. So you want to kind of get it in as soon as you can, and then there might be a dispute. But especially if it seems like you're disagreeing and they're not going to work it out, I would be submitting that yourself.
Obviously, if you have a good relationship with your landlord or your property manager, you can get them to do it as well. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a race to the bottom.
No.
But you do have the power to go straight to that authority. You don't have to go through the middleman if the middleman is also the problem you've got.
And just important as well to just never sign like a blank bond form. Like make sure that don't sign it and just give it to someone to fill out and tell you what you want. You know, you make sure it's what you've agreed on before you're signing that document.
I feel like I've said this before on this show, but the very first flat I lived in, we were so green about all of this stuff that we just gave a check to the landlord, who then just gave us the same check back at the end of the year. They hadn't even cashed it. So it was all worked out in the end, but it was all extremely not the process. Now I know.
And I think important with all this stuff as well is just to be really vigilant when you move in. So taking photos of damage, keeping a record of things. Like, again, not everyone's going to act in the same way, but if you act like you're a little Harriet the Spy, Nancy Drew, you make your files, then you'll be in a good position that they'll be like, oh, this person has done so much recording of this, there's no way we can argue.
And if you're not the admin person in your flat, buy the admin person a beer.
It's a lot.
You've got to have one. What else have we got here, Stella?
Someone's texted in saying our flat is freezing and we think the house isn't insulated. For that reason, is our landlord required to provide us with a heater?
Ooh.
It's the time of year, isn't it?
It is.
Gold!
So, unfortunately, we've taken some of the teeth out of the healthy homes or pushed it back a little bit, but there are specific guidelines online. It's good to have a look at what healthy homes compliance is all about. But basically, within that, from July 2021, all new or renewed tenancy agreements are meant to follow Healthy Homes, but they've pushed back the compliance of all private rentals to July 2025. But even if you don't have Healthy Homes, they're meant to keep it safe and dry, warm, there's other things, but it's got a little bit of the teeth pulled out. But within that, there is rules around needing to be able to heat the main room in the house, which is not quite the same as all rooms or bedrooms, but the main room needs to be able to be heated up to 18 degrees at least. So that can be a heater or more than one heater. There are a few places that don't have exceptions. Like, I live in a heritage apartment, and because we're not allowed heat pumps on the outside of the building, they don't have to do it.
Right.
But luckily it's warm and well built, so don't worry about me.
It's one of the good areas.
Yeah, absolutely. She's very warm. So I would definitely look into that. If you just work out kind of where you're at in terms of Healthy Homes, but still be using that as language. So there's a calculator they can do online, your landlord, to work out what kind of heater they'll need to be able to do that. But there should be something like that happening. So the Healthy Homes does have all of those. It does have real provisions for heating up that main room of the house.
Good to know. Speaking of Healthy Homes, we've had another text around that topic. Someone says, what do I do? I specifically moved into my new flat for its apparent Healthy Homes compliance, and now we are seeing that these standards are clearly lacking. Do I speak to my landlord first, or can I issue a 14-day notice to remedy? What's the deal with this one, Celine?
Okay, so with this as well, I think it's probably best to start by acting in good faith. Mm-hmm. So communicate, you know, try and have a good relationship. Often you'll have landlords who will understand, or property managers who will understand that's in their benefit. And also Healthy Homes, if they're not compliant, there's some legal repercussions there, so it should be in their interest. So I would try and work out where you don't think they're compliant, and then contact them, ask them to address the issue. If they're not doing that in a what they kind of refer to as a reasonable time period, depending on what the thing is, then you could notice the 14-day to remedy. Then you could apply to the tenancy tribunal if they're still not doing it. There's this other thing that I had never heard of before, which is a bad sign. There's also a compliance and investigations team. So, words I've never heard of.
Wild.
So this is about serious and ongoing breaches, and that might not be in this case of Healthy Homes, but if there's something serious going on, you can get someone else to basically report it to this compliance and investigations team, who can then deal with it without the tenant. But it's usually reasonably obvious if the tenant has probably told someone about it, unless it was a neighbor or something like that. But so I would say just start in good faith. You might have to escalate it that way, but try and frame it. It is in their best interest. Yeah. One, for you to be healthy, you would hope, but secondly, to be compliant under regulation and not have any legal repercussion.
Totally. We've just had a text come through that says, hey, BFM, I'm off to the tribunal in a couple of weeks. Any suggestions of things to prepare for that? Brackets, I'm a tenant. So good to know what side of that argument you're on, I guess.
Yeah, we can get the landlords ready.
Listen, I'm sharing on the air. I've been to the tribunal recently. Not my segment, sorry, Celine.
Please help.
But shout out Stella.
I would say on the website it says to prepare everything chronologically, which was really helpful, just kind of like figuring things out. But when you're in there, every judge or adjudicator might do it differently, but they do it issue by issue.
Right.
So prepare everything chronologically as it pertains to that issue, I would say. So like Celine said before, documenting, paper trail, very, very, very important. Have all of it printed out and have three copies, because you need one for every party. Which, what is printing? You should figure that out beforehand, because our flat was like, where do we print things? What are we going to do? But yes, prepare it chronologically and prepare it by issue, I would say.
Yeah, nice. Again, if there's someone in your flat who's the admin guy, buy them a beer.
Yeah. And I think, Stella, you're also saying that they have quite a lot of good videos as well.
They do. You should resources. Actually. Yeah, we became absolute experts in tenancy law.
Nice.
Just from the website. It's actually a really good resource. So, yeah, cool. Have a look at that.
As always, we'll put all the website links in the podcast after the show, which will include tribunal resources, which will also include some other fantastic renters advocate resources, such as...
We've got a few different ones. So you've got tenancy services, which is kind of the government tells you the official word, but not necessarily... always a tenant advocate. Then you've got Aratohu, which is a great resource that's been done by a few different groups. You also have Citizens Advice Bureau has some good things. Community Law has some really great resources. You can also contact them if you might need free legal help. And then Auckland Protection, Auckland Tenants Protection Association and Renters United, as always, have good resources and are the kind of group to join if you want to agitate in this area.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Celine, and thanks, Stella, as well. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
A plague on both your investment houses. That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland Renters Advocate, Celine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.